What if I told you that everything you ever thought was true was a lie? What if I told you that the things you hold most dear will one day be proven to be mere facsimiles of what they appear to be? What if I told you that some of the most skeptical among us are the most vulnerable? This is 15 for 15. Hawkeye owns bad radio. On January 6th, 2017, bad radio's world was turned completely upside down by a revelation so shocking they were unsure if the show would continue. A Homer Call of the Week submission that ran the day before was so outlandish, it warranted further investigation.
So what first tipped you off, Jake, upon listening over and over again? The crowd is a...
That was the first thing.
...is a tip for a New Mexico high school football battle.
A high school crowd and a professional crowd sound distinctly different.
Like, listen here...
Because it is sheer volume of people.
Right when they're about to hit the... or kick the field goal, listen to the crowd.
And Manzano can only hope to tie.
That's a big if. Here's the snap for Centennial. The kick is blocked!
See that crowd? That sounded like an NFL crowd.
After several listens, both on and off air, the show had decided something was amiss. They just weren't sure what. What or who could be at the core of this deception? Moments later, David Mino reported that he had some information.
Hey, Dan. I was just sent a longer version of this game, of this call. It's not from Brandon Lake.
This
but
is
it's,
a bit, right?
It's a little bit longer.
I don't know.
And I think this proves that it might be legit.
Okay, what did you think of this game?
Oh, my God, Brad Scott, this was the greatest game in New Mexico high school football history.
What the heck?
So what is that?
Bob, Dan.
Yes.
Hey, it's Hawkeye. You're a neighbor from across the hall at KSCS Radio.
But I have to admit, one of my favorite bits that Bob and Dan do is Homer Call.
KSCS's Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I really wanted to be part of that because I really like that bit a lot. And you know what? I thought I had that. I thought for sure that was a slam dunk.
What the heck is going on here?
Explain what you've done
to us.
What
are you doing?
What have you done to us?
Well... I'm a fan of your show, and I'm a fan of Homer Call of the Week, and I wanted to see if it would be possible to make my own fake Homer Call with the assistance of my good friends, Brett Mega and Scotty K.
I-93's Scotty K and Brett Mega.
What ended up happening is he emailed us and said, hey, are you guys available for a prank or a bit? And we're like, yeah. And then he came and elaborated on it. Like, he didn't give us all the details in the email because I think he thought it was going to be like someone could steal his email and find all the details.
To be honest, when Hawkeye asks you to do something, you say yes.
As bad radio began to interrogate Hawkeye about his methods, he revealed details more dastardly than anyone could have ever imagined.
But it might be the best time to confess this also. This is the third time I've been on your show, actually, that you don't know about.
No. Hold on.
I have booked myself twice as a guest on the guest booking list.
And at this point, I'm thinking, this dude is about to nuke us.
I was also Dan Cortez from MTV.
Shut up!
Clearly, we have a lot of questions to answer here today on 15 for 15. How? Why? Why? Hawkeye?
Well, the original vision really was a way to infiltrate Bob and Dan's show because they had a bit called Urban Joe where they would call other people's radio shows and see how long that they can be a caller.
Bob's in Miami Beach. Bob, welcome to 790 The Ticket.
Kevin, what's going on?
How's
man?
It going, Bob?
Let's go to Tom in Miami. Tom, welcome to 790 The Ticket.
Hey, Kevin. Good show.
Got a Norm who's in Miami. Norm, welcome to 790 The Ticket.
Hello.
And if you're not in radio, it may not mean a lot to you, but I really appreciated that bit. It's a hard bit kind of to portray to listeners because you can't sit there and play a 15-minute phone call, but I thought that was genius.
Then on July 29th, 2013, Hawkeye struck his first blow. As former MTV star Dan Cortez was scheduled to appear as part of Bad Radio's guest booking league.
Well, I looked at all the GBL guests that year when I decided to do it, and Dan Cortez was the one guy I knew the most about. So I had some working knowledge of him because I was a fan of his back in the day. So that's how I decided to do him. And then I did a lot of research reading about Dan Cortez, and I even found out for a short time he had changed his name from Dan Cortez to Dan Cortese.
Hey, bro, Dan Cortese here.
But I waited to the very end of the guest booking league season to call in because, one, by then, you guys have kind of lost enthusiasm for the contest because you've booked everybody you could book and there's like 3 weeks left and you haven't had anybody. So I knew like all of a sudden this would be like, a diamond that just fell out of the sky into your lap. And secondly, I had to make sure that the real Dan Cortez never called because I didn't know if someone had booked Dan Cortez.
So I think this is one where my generational deficiency sort of hurt me because I'd never heard of Dan Cortez or Dan Cortese. So it didn't seem implausible to me that a guy I'd never heard of would be this desperate for publicity.
GBL, though, it is weird if you get somebody who says, I know Chuck Norris, and I'm going to get you Chuck Norris on the phone tomorrow. We've had different things like that. And yes, that is something you're more worried about. Evel Knievel, when Corby called in many years ago as Evel Knievel.
What you been up to here this last couple decades? You look like you're doing a little enterprising.
Can you hang on? Hello?
Yes?
Can you hang out one sec?
Sure.
Yeah, who is this?
Is this Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's Corby. What's up?
You know, Norm has interviewed full guests for 15 minutes that have been actual fake, that have been listeners.
God bless you and Godspeed. We'll be keeping track of you this season. No people out here are cheering for you.
Thank you, Norm.
Rob, I appreciate your visit this morning.
All right. Thank
I really do.
Thank you. I'm gay.
That's Rob Ramsey.
So that radar is up more for me for sure on GBL.
I called purposely when on the air because when you call on the air, you don't have a lot of time to talk. And basically, we just exchanged emails. And I gave Jake a fake email for a publicist for Dan Cortez. And the story that I gave Jake was, hey, I this is going to sound crazy, but I do publicity for Guinness Book of World Records. Dan Cortez is our host. And these people are contacting me that this sports station in Dallas is trying to book Dan Cortez. Are you guys trying to book my guy? And of course, Jake's like, yeah, yes, we are. I'm on the air right now. Can I just have your email? And then from that point, it was just email exchanges. In fact, I'm pretty sure he gave my email to Donovan, and Donovan is the one who booked Dan Cortez.
This is an icon of our youth in many respects. It's the great Dan Cortese. Dan, how are you?
Hey, bro, Chaka. Dan Cortese, the animal in the house. Not doing a little under the weather, so apologies to all you frat boys out there, okay?
Yeah. Man, this is awesome. All right, so first,
I wanted to leave little Easter eggs throughout the interview so I could go back someday and reveal myself that was me. It wasn't really Dan Cortez, it was me on the interview. So I decided to leave little lines from the movie Usual Suspects. And I really thought that nobody would catch it. I thought it was going to be too subtle. In fact, right out of the bat, I said,
No, I got question number one.
Okay, go ahead.
My first question, my assistant Kent only gave me verbal confirmation.
His name is Verbal. Verbal Kent.
But apparently, P1s just caught on to it right away because people started going on Twitter and asking, why was Dan Cortez mentioning the Usual Suspects or how did all these Usual Suspects lines in his interview?
We arrived in Los Angeles and met McManus's fence, Redfoot.
What we need to do is find Redfoot.
My career got ended because some big guy from California named Redfoot clocked me so hard I never got back on the field.
Back when I was picking beans in Guatemala, we used to make fresh coffee.
We'd be going bungee jumping in Guatemala. We'd be waking up picking fresh coffee beans, and they'd be roasting them for us.
You know, back when I was in that barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois.
You don't think I know you held out on the DA?
I might blow some like barbershop quartet from Skokie, Illinois. I don't know, to be interviewed. So, and then I guess I heard the intro, so this was like a contest or something.
Again, at first blush, I can't swear that I had picked up on that at all. When someone pointed it out to us that why is he doing Usual Suspects comedy, for some reason, my head quickly reconciled that with, it's Dan Cortez. I suppose he was just amusing himself. I mean, he would race around in dune buggies. He would jump with bungee cords. So maybe he wants to do radio interviews with movies from pop culture and just use references.
I had notes, just tons of notes, just surrounded with notes. So if Dan asked about something or Bob asked about something, I would know about it. In fact, there's one bit in the interview where Bob asked about an outfit that Dan Cortez wore, a flight suit, And I'd happened to see that video like the day before, so I knew exactly what he was talking about. It sounded like, oh, yes, of course, I'm talking about this flight suit.
Why do I remember, like, the one-piece jumpsuit or what the heck was that? I was just looking at something on MTV where you're, like, wearing the...
It's a flight suit. It was a flight suit.
The flight suit, yeah.
I didn't really have a plan on how I'd reveal it, but then it worked out so well. Then I started looking the next year for other GBL guests, and I was planning to do it again as soon as the first one went down.
Let's briefly jump back to Hawkeye's D-Day to find out what mask he would wear next.
I have booked myself twice as a guest on the guest booking league.
Dude, you were not freaking Jack Handy.
I was Jack Handy, yeah.
I quit the show.
Are you kidding me?
Then the following season, Jack Handy was there, and I was a big fan of Deep Thoughts, so I thought I could pull off Jack Handy. And called the same way, called into the control room. Jake picked up the phone, and I said the same thing. Hey, I do publicity for Jack Handy's publisher, and I'm getting all these emails from people that says a sports station's trying to book him. It sounds kind of crazy, but I'm just following up on this. Oh, yes, yes, we are trying to book him.
This is one I'd definitely like to have back, a real low point, but the email looked exactly like the emails that we get from people who are trying to push guests, which, obviously, Hawkeye sees a ton of on his show. And I saw the word publishing in the email address, but I didn't look closely enough because if I had, I would have seen that it was from mayosmith.gpcpublishing@yahoo.com,
which anybody can make that email. But it got by him. He didn't realize it was just a Yahoo email address because the GPC publishing in there just kind of fooled him. Now, one thing also that made it look legit is I kept putting links back to the GPC publishing website. So it looked like, wow, this is going back to his website. So obviously, this guy's a publicist for this company.
Well, I believe it is our pleasure now to be joined by the great Jack Handy on our airwaves on the Guest Booking League. Jack, a pleasure having you on the show, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I am a real person.
Man.
That's question one.
First of all, I did put Easter eggs in this interview, but they were much more subtle than the last time. I just dropped some names of 1970 Detroit Tigers in the interview, thinking nobody would ever catch that. But when I went back to reveal it, if I ever did, I could say, look, these guys were Tigers, you know, they're on the record.
It was like, I think it was Rich McAuliffe, one of the other writers, that really lobbied for it. And I sat down with Gates Brown, who was another writer. And
plus, Mayo Smith was the manager of the Detroit Tigers, and that was the guy in the email that that I sent to Jake. But also, there was a time also in the interview, and if you go back, you can hear it, where Dan asked me a question about a book that Jack Handy was featured in, and I thought I had read everything.
I was just going to ask if you've read the book, the SNL book.
I know of that book. There's a couple different ones. I don't know which one you're referring to. There's one of the earlier years, and I haven't read the one. There's one that came out a short time ago. But I'll tell you what's really awesome, if you're a fan of Saturday Night Live, is the app. Have you seen that?
And I tried to redirect Dan and say, you know what's really great is the app, this SNL app. You should check that out.
That it's free, and it has 40 years of Saturday Night Live sketches. I mean, it has probably 80% of all the sketches over the last 40 years. And if you're a fan of SNL, I highly recommend the free app.
And Dan, you can hear Dan go,
okay, during the interview, I asked Jack Handy about the new SNL book, which was recently published, and that I poured through, and he claimed to have not seen it. And I thought that was very weird because he was a major part of it, and it was a very well-publicized book, I think by James Andrew Miller. So I remember my radar thinking, that's odd. But I had been told that Jack Handy was an extreme recluse who doesn't do much and lives in Wyoming or something, so I think I chalked it up to that.
I actually went back and listened to Jake's podcast afterwards, and he's on the podcast saying, I think Jack Handy was fake. There's something about it. I think it was fake.
That's been eating at your mind, and was Jack Handy fake is eating at mine still.
Go over that.
Okay. I don't want to go over it because you might be in on it.
I swear to God I'm not in on it. I also swear to God there's nothing going on.
Oh, I definitely wanted to go back to the GBL. There just wasn't anybody that I knew well enough that I could imitate, I thought.
Homer call. Here's Dan.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
So Brandon Lake emails, Dan, I went to Manzano, I'm not sure if you pronounce it that way, high school in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
I wanted to have a play where there was a dramatic ending so you could have a ridiculous homework call. And I couldn't find, I went all through Max Preps and I couldn't find anything. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to pick some game from a neighboring state. Surely those guys aren't going to check more than just the score if these were real schools. So I picked, it was the New Mexico State High School Championship.
Last week in the state playoffs, my alma mater played and beat Las Cruces Centennial. This audio file, the winning touchdown was being passed around by old high school friends. I'm a P1, thought this might be good enough for Homer Call of the Week. So here we go. Manzano High School in New Mexico.
Bring it.
Thanks to this P1.
I did email the guy back who said this is from my local high school, which I get a lot. You know, I'm in Arkansas, and here's the college I went to. You know, it's a P1 who, that's the reason they know about this obscure play. So this particular one, though, somebody had sent me the piece of audio already cut. And I suppose that should have alerted my detector. But like I said, doing this thing for, what, over 15 years or so, had never really been concerned before.
I can kiss you!
You're not gay, I'm not gay! We're just excited! Manzano's gonna win this game!
The most important thing is that you understand neither of us are gay.
You're not gay, I'm not gay.
That might be the greatest thing I've ever heard.
We're just excited.
I was listening live. Brett and Scotty were listening live. We were all listening live. And and I have to admit, I was thoroughly enjoying the discussion. And I think Mino said,
is that from a movie or something?
That's what it sounded like.
I'm embarrassed because upon playing it, all the guys jumped on it right away. Like, hey, that crowd noise seems, you know, pretty loud and constant for a high school football game. And some other things that, you know, the detectors went off right away with everybody else listening. But for some reason, I did not detect that in the vetting process.
On its surface, to be completely honest, as goofy as it sounds in retrospect, because now when you hear it, it does sound like a Saturday Night Live bit, it never occurred to me at the time. When suspicion started, I believe Jake was the first to put it out there. Then you listen to it again and you say, oh man, he's definitely onto something here.
Manzano's gonna win this game!
You know,
should we be suspicious?
I'm gonna go ahead and say yes.
What do you mean?
A P1 sent it in. It was a little bit weird the first time, but the number of people that have said, and for me, it's mostly the crowd.
Why don't you just search Manzano and see?
What do you mean the crowd?
This happened.
That sounds the crowd sounds fake.
The crowd is so loud.
One more time.
Middle
of it. Just give us a little.
All right.
A little taste. I want to.
Here's the snap for Centennial. The kick is blocked.
Damn you, Jake. I spent a lot of time on that thing, and I can't believe you guys listened to it 4 times and dissected it. You would never caught it if you hadn't listened to it more than once, like every other Homer call.
Can I say this? I got a lot of grief for the crowd was too large. My thinking at the time was, this is the New Mexico State High School Championship. It's probably being played at like the University of New Mexico Stadium in Albuquerque. This is a big deal. So I thought there would be a big crowd. That's why I put this huge crowd. But that ended up being the thing that tipped everybody off that was fake.
Hawkeye, Brett, and Scotty's masterpiece would even go on to serve as inspiration on a call from Dallas Mavericks TV voice Mark Folliwell.
Watch this, boys. Block, 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 block. Bang.
Harrison Barnes.
The saboteur himself even gave an occasional self-congratulatory pat on the back, and with good reason.
Tip of the hat to Chop and Steal, and shout out to you, Bob and Dan. Anybody can be taken. It is 7:13 with traffic. Here is Buzz.
Okay, Hawkeye.
Scotty K. and Brett Mega.
After you guys aired it, he told us, he's like, guys, just so you know, I've been doing this for years. This is part of a bigger scheme. And we were like, oh my God, like, this is nerve-wracking.
Hawkeye has the patience of a serial killer. It makes me really nervous. The way this guy can scheme and put things together.
Such a long play on that prank. And then, of course, to be revealed as also two guys on the GBL, I was nothing but awestruck at the great prank that had been pulled off. And as I think about it more, I continue to think, that's great. This guy listens to our show this closely, that he's willing to put in that much work to attempt to dupe us on the air. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, it's a tribute to your show. I enjoy your show, so
well,
thank you for letting me be part of it in a small way.
It feels like you're...
It's amazing!
Feels like you're going to be a 15 for 15 someday.
Hard work and dedication to the bit. Hats off to you, Hawkeye. Now we must all ask, are you Hawkeye? Are we all Hawkeye? Join us next time for another edition of Bad Radio's 15 for 15.
And like that, he was gone.
For they know the great imposter. Don't she know he's
going to stay? Wow, indeed. Just amazing.
That was fantastic, Jake.
Thank you. I'm quite proud.
Unbelievable.
That was really cool, and so was it all.